All right, now, I've been wanting to do this for a long time, but the Lord just kind of pushed me through the door with it. So we're going to start this. I'm going to preach on a new subject, heaven. Yeah, can you believe it or not, I'm going to preach on heaven. And it's something we need to know about. The Bible's got a lot to say about it. Life's pretty hopeless without it. You don't hear too many young guys preaching on heaven because they're not looking that direction too much yet. The older you get, the more you start looking that way. I've noticed that for years. Old people they're a lot more interested in heaven. They talk about it a lot more. They think about it a lot more than younger people do. Let me just say to you this morning, if you're young, you better rejoice, young man, in the days of thy youth. Better do it, because it's the best you're going to have in this life so far. I mean, as far as burdens and troubles. Here's what I'm saying. Life's going to get harder. The longer you go, the harder it gets here. So you need to know about heaven. You need to know that how this whole thing, where we're going and where this ends up. People that have had the hardest afflictions had the best songs in their heart about heaven. Bible's full of it. Gives us a lot of hope about it. There's so much about it to talk about, and each little aspect of it is a whole message, really. I mean, to think about the fact that there's not going to be any tears in heaven. Wow. You're going to wipe away all tears from their eyes? I was just thinking about that this morning, and I thought, oh no, I ain't even no need to mention in that, because that's a whole different subject. I mean, that's another subject altogether. That's a whole message altogether. I can preach an hour on that alone. So we can't cram all of it into one message about heaven. No, no. But we do need to look at some things. And so Revelation chapter 21 is where we read a lot about it. It's not the only place, and it's not the only place I'm going to read this morning, but Revelation 21 starts telling us what's happened. But like we did the other night with the last verse of the previous chapter, we have to do this also. And y'all are going to say, oh no, I knew it. He's going to preach on heaven, and he's going to preach on who ain't going. This sure is the world, that's what he's going to do. But here's the problem, and here's the issue that we have to face about this. Everybody thinks they're going there. Everybody thinks they're going to heaven. They don't think sin is any issue. They don't think it has anything to do with it. They just think that somehow God's just going to just bundle us all up and fix all the problems and wipe all the filth off of us and just drag us all in anyway, and it ain't going to happen that way. We got to read the last verse of chapter 20. And that's the chapter where the great white throne judgment, everything's gone, heaven and earth are fled away, there's no place for them, nothing left but God and every person who ever lived. And they're judged. The books are opened, and everybody that's not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, as we read in this verse, and whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Then the next chapter begins, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. It's a wiping it out clean and just starting all over. But it's starting over with what was reaped out of the earth and what's happened right now, what's happening right now. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you again for the songs we've sang together. Thank you for the scripture and how wonderful it is, and the promises and what you've told us and showed us that the future holds. And it's beyond what we can even comprehend this morning in our feeble bodies, our feeble minds, and our distorted vision that we just don't see well from where we're at. We see through a glass darkly. But the next verses there talk about how that you reveal Him to us through your Spirit. And so, Lord, help us this morning get a little glimpse of the other side. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, when we begin to study about heaven, we have to start with the fact that not everyone is going there. And I don't say that with any kind of satisfaction or any kind of joy at all. The fact that we have loved ones that are not going ought to sober you up. And it's foolish to blind ourselves to that fact and ignore it and pretend that it's not so, because it is so. Not everybody's going, not everyone. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire at the end. That's the end. Ain't no more chances. Ain't no more light. There's nothing left for them. They're gone forever. It's over. It's done with. With the truth revealed clearly in the Bible is that most people are not going to go to heaven. Now we got to face that fact. Jesus said that. He said that the straight is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And He said that wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many. And if you look at that word, if you'll just look at the word and its definition, it means most. Most of the human race is on the broad road to destruction. And they're going to perish. Most of the human race is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And do you know that most of the human race is alive right now? I was telling somebody the other day that again. Do you realize it? Just do some math. Do some thinking about it. Up until the 1800s, it took that long for there to be 1 billion people on earth. There's 7 to 9 billion now. I don't even know. Do you know, Jacob, what the population is? It's about 8 billion, I think, now. Maybe more than that. Living right now on the earth. So that means that most of the people who ever lived and ever will live are alive right now. And most of the people you see in Walmart, on the TV, and these big crowds you see, most of them are going to be cast into the lake of fire. So we've got to face that fact. We can't just join heaven and be and like everybody's going there and just think, when we all get to heaven, blah, blah, blah. No, we ain't all going to heaven. I'm sorry, but that's the fact, and we must face that, or heaven doesn't mean what it ought to mean to us. And it's not going to motivate us as we ought to be motivated. It's not something to glory in, but rather something to grieve about. It's not something that should discourage us in the work of the Lord either, but it's rather a fact that should motivate us to reach as many as we possibly can while we have time. Work, for the night cometh when no man can work. Every person who is going to heaven is concerned about those who are not. And it is a major part of what his life is about. That's what people miss. They hear preaching, and they don't like preaching, hard preaching, and they don't like preachers who just pick, 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 and pound, 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 and plow, plow, plow. But this is what is at stake. And this is why they do it. They don't want people to perish, and they're going to perish in their sin if somehow they're not reached. And you must, somebody's got to preach, or they can't hear, and they can't believe unless they hear. So somebody's got to do it. And you need to realize that's the motive behind it. That's the reason for it. Everybody that preaches with a burden and plows deep, that's why. They're doing it. They're not doing it to be somebody, to impress somebody, because nobody likes them. You don't make a name for yourself by doing that. You don't get people to like you by doing that. Nobody likes you. Just like they did with all of the prophets. Just like they did with the Son of God Himself. So there's no reward as far as glory and fame and praise of men for this. But it is in the eternity. There sure is in eternity. Yes, sir. They that win souls, they're going to shine forth in eternity. Those who are truly born again and on their way to heaven are aware that eternity is going to separate the good and evil forever. While we live on this earth here, both the good and evil are present, and there's a bloody warfare continually growing more intense. And we're aware of that here. And we're looking forward to the time when all will be peace and the war will be over. I think in the last 2 weeks, when is the victory in the Pacific? When is that day? What day is it? It was just the other day because I saw it in the news and stuff and was reminded of it again. But it was in the papers that Seth had. He had some newspapers from back then. The whole country had a 2-day holiday. Everything just closed. And everybody just rested and thanked God because the war was over. Finally, the killing, all the bloodshed, all this terrible violence was over. Peace at last. That's the last time that this country, and that was the last generation that knew what victory felt like. Yes, that's right. And I just think about that when we do get to heaven and it's all over and there is peace. It's going to be that times 10,000. It's over. The battle's over. Evil is put away forever. It's gone. I mean, that's just one aspect of heaven and eternity to think about right there. The struggle, the offense, the affliction, the adversity, the push, the hatred, it's all gone. And there's just peace at last. Eternal peace and rest. And the burdens are gone. Well, that's enough right there. If there was nothing else to say about heaven, that ought to be enough right there to make you jump up and shout glory to God. Thank God. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Because that's all it is now. It's a struggle. Even among ourselves. Even among churches. That's what's going on this morning. Some preachers up and preaching to a bunch of people who just will not do right. And will not yield. And will not come on board. They're on the other side. And so it's a battle. A battle. There's no unity. Church can't go nowhere because there's no unity. When we live on this earth, that's the way it is. This situation is going to be changed in eternity when all that's evil and wicked, along with all the damage that it has done, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Think about that. Everything, all the consequences, everything's going to be swept away for good into another place that is no place. Outer darkness, away, never to enter back in. And all that's going to be left is God and His people. Forever separated from that which is good and righteous and holy, evil is going to be cast out into outer darkness. Evil, and everybody that sympathizes with it, that identifies with it, that is deceived by it, everybody that's not written in the book of life, everybody gone. Is your name written in the book of life this morning? Do you know that? Jesus told His disciples, don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. So you got to know this morning. You got to know, sitting there right now, you got to know whether your name's in that book or not. Because there was a time when He wrote it in His book. The Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because if it ain't, you're not going to be a part of this. Say, see, you're being negative. No, I'm getting there. Hang on. We just got to face this fact, though. To us, as we travel this journey of life here, it seems a long time in coming. Remember the verse our memory verse we read a while ago? We have waited for Him. We have waited for Him. It says it twice. We've waited a long time. Yes, sir. We waited and waited. The earth's been waiting. The people of God's been waiting for 6,000 years. For this. But He will come. And it seems like it's a long time in coming from where we're at right now. But in eternity, the time spent here waiting for it will seem so insignificant because time will be no more. We're going to get out of this thing called time, and it's not going to, and then when we look back on it, it's not going to be so bad. I mean, you can see that in your own life, how you've had hard times and hard things to deal with, and it gets past, and then you look back on it. It seems so long while you're going through it, but when you look back on it, it just kind of shrinks up, don't it? As far as the time spent. That's the way it's going to be in eternity. The separation from evil is the hope of God's people and always has been. They long for the moment when God makes all things new and all the darkness and evil and cruelty and hatred is done away with forever. I get so tired of reading about all the evil in this world. People murdering their children. Being so cruel to their children and to the women and to one another. So last night where some young woman searched the internet how to murder someone and get away with it. Searched all kinds of things. How to suffocate. And all. She suffocated her babies. One in 2015, a four-month-old baby. And then again in 2017, done the same thing to us. I believe this one was 17 months old. Just stuff like that. Just evil. Did you get sick of that? Don't you hate sin? Don't you hate this evil that's eaten up the human race in this whole world? If you could only know a fraction of what's going on in the habitations of cruelty in the dark places of this world that the Bible talks about, you'd shudder this morning. It's not well here. We got to lock the doors to have church. We got to carry weapons to defend ourselves. We got to tie our children to us with something when we go out in public. It's not well. It's an evil, dark world. And I, for one, am looking forward to a different kind of place where the gates are open all day and all night. There's never closed. There's no darkness there. There's nothing else to harm or hurt. It's a kingdom of love. And confidence and goodwill toward all men. They long for that moment. God's people have always been that way. Like I said a while ago, while you're young, life is to be lived. You're looking forward to this life and you don't have burdens. You don't. You think you do, but you don't. You're just worried about who to marry and if you're going to get married and what's how to work and what you're going to do for a job. Just wait until you get on the other end of the journey. I mean, I've been thinking about it. That's another subject. I don't want to get off on that. But it's a long journey. And the burden gets heavier as the journey goes on. I got to hurry because I got some things I want to say here this morning. And then before, as we get into this here. But we sit here today. That moment's not that far off when God is going to do with, away with all of this. I want you to realize that it's not far off. You need to hope in that. You need to take that to the bank. Now, that's the truth. It ain't long. It ain't long. God's people, His real people, are crying out, "Come, Lord Jesus." As you see all this evil and you become aware of what's going on in this world, you cry out, "Lord, come. Please, come. Put a stop to this." You should prepare right now, this moment, for eternity. For you might enter it at any moment. So you need to prepare right now. Not tomorrow, not tonight, not later sometime, not after you think about it some more. You better be prepared right now. The trumpet could sound right now. Your heart could stop beating right now. You could step out that door and get run over right now. There's a thousand things. Your blood's flowing through your little paper-thin veins right now, and all it takes is just one little mishap, and you're dead right now and in eternity, and it's over for you. You better be prepared to meet your God right now. Wherever you are, whatever you are, righteous or undone, and still in your sins, it's what you'll be for eternity if you wait too late. It's fixed. The moment you draw your last breath, the moment your heart beats its last beat, it's fixed for eternity. Whatsoever's holy, let it be holy still. Whatsoever's filthy, let it be filthy still. It's fixed. Ain't no fixing it then. Ain't no priest going to pray for you. Ain't no preacher going to do anything for you. Ain't nobody going to do anything for you after that. Now, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. You better do it now. You better make sure that you're ready, that you're prepared, that your heart is changed, that your sin is gone, so that you're ready if he comes right in the next 30 seconds. Or if you die in the next 30 seconds, you don't want to miss heaven. So as we study the Bible to find out what heaven's like, you should sincerely question yourself and search your heart to know for sure, according to what the Bible teaches, whether you're really headed there or if you're going to end up cast out forever. Don't allow yourself to rejoice about heaven when you're not going there. That's what I was telling Gary back here a while ago. You can quote scripture and say things, and it's amazing who responds. People who really don't understand it at all. People rejoice in the good things of God. Don't tell me a sinner don't rejoice in love the law of the Lord. I mean, don't tell me that. The things of God. Delight in the law of God. Don't tell me they don't do that. They do. But they're not a part. They're not a partaker. They're not really in, but they'll still say, yeah, that's right. And the people that are supposed to be won't say a word. Don't allow yourself to rejoice about heaven when you're not going there. Don't allow yourself to rejoice about other people going to heaven when they're not going there. When their life doesn't line up with what the Bible says about people who go to heaven. That's just the thing. And that's the weakness, see? It's such a horrible thing to miss heaven and end up in hell for eternity that we have a hard time accepting the fact that other loved ones end up in hell. We'll twist the gospel. We'll deny the word of God. We'll invent another God that'll let them in heaven. But you're deceiving yourself. The truth's the truth. God's God. His word is established forever. And that's what we're looking at. And that's what we go by. It's if the word of God says it, that's the way it is. No matter how much it hurts us now, how much it affects us now. You got to have a real hope for heaven. That's my point. You got to read the Bible. The Bible describes clearly who is going to heaven and who is not. You need to make sure you're one of them that is. You can't put your confidence for eternity in just something you did, some little profession you made or some little act you did. Somebody was telling me yesterday about so-and-so got baptized and everything. Well, wonderful, but is that your hope for? You know how many people I've asked through the years, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? They say, how they'll answer, they'll say that, I've been baptized. Most people say that. That's the first thing they say. Well, I've been baptized. Baptism ain't going to get you to heaven. And we're going to have baptism here in a week or two, as soon as we can figure things out. Can't get no gas because we got a gas leak, so we can't heat the water, and the baptistry leaks, so I got to fix that. So we're trying to work all that out. But we got some baptisms to do. But that ain't going to save these people. If they ain't saved already, it ain't going to do a thing for them. You got to know you're going to heaven. How do you know? Well, because God does a work in your heart. You stop at fighting and fussing and hatefulness and resisting and fighting and struggling and walking in your own self. And there's a drastic difference in your soul and you know it. And it's just like Seb was talking. You can go in places like down there yesterday where we was at. And I don't enjoy being in a place like that and all the noise and the music and everything. But it doesn't affect me either that way. I'm there for a different reason. And I'm there looking at people in a different light and for a different reason. And I look at all the people and think about this. You look at that crowd of people. Think about what it's going to be like when most of them are cast out into the lake of fire. No wonder it says he'll wipe the tears from their eyes. It's right after that. All right. Now the eternal state of the righteous is described immediately after the removal of all whose names were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 21, 1 through 3. We read this, some of it already, but yeah, we done read it. I saw a new heaven and new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. There is no one left now but God, his angels, and the people, his people, who have been redeemed from the trash heap of humanity. Now that's all that's left. I mean, they're all gone. All these evil people. All these irreverent, godless, God-hating people are gone. But along with them are gone a lot of people who were religious, who went to church, who said they were saved and going to heaven. Along with them are a lot of preachers who preached all their life, but didn't tell the truth and knew it. But it meant their living, their money, their occupation. It meant their reputation, so they never would repent of it. God's redeemed are in the very presence of God. Oh my, I don't know how to express it any better than that. But they're going to be there forever. Revelation 22, verse 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. They shall see his face. It's one of those things I saw this morning. I thought, I can preach that. That's a whole message right there. They shall see his face. Standing face to face with God, with Christ who died for us, who we've, having not seen, we loved. Yeah, we believed in him. We loved him. Without seeing his face, but we're gonna see his face. Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? Well, it'll be more than words can express, I'll tell you that. It's like the pilgrim said, he said, there are certain things that are better felt with the heart than expressed with the tongue. Words are insufficient. We're gonna be with God. God said, he will be with his people, and he'll be their God. Jesus said in John 14, verse 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. This is Jesus talking. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So what's the plan? Jesus went away. Yes, he went away. He ascended back to heaven almost 2,000 years ago, and he said, I'm coming back. And I'm coming back to get you. Because I'm going to prepare a place for you right now. And when I get done, I'm coming to get you. Well, he's been a long time preparing. It must be something. And he said, if it wasn't that way, I would tell you. But I'm telling you. And if you believe anything, you ought to believe what Jesus says. He said, I'm coming to get you. And I'm coming to get you so that you can be where I am. He wants you with him much more than you want to be with him. As a bride adorned for her husband. That's the way he looks at it. You know, we take great joy in that. And the bride and the wedding here is a big deal. It's something little girls look forward to all their life. And men look forward to it too. A bride. Adorned for her husband. And that's as near as he can express what he's feeling. Why do you think he's going to leave heaven with a shout? It's his joy. It's something that God is looking forward to much more than we are. We got to be preached to and reminded about it and told about it and explained to about it. And words don't do it. Words don't express it enough. Revelation 21, verse 23 and 24. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. All right. The point I'm making there is that we're going to be with God. And God's going to be there and he's going to be the light of the place. But the last thing it said in that verse was that the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Think about this. Think about this. All the true glory and honor that was found in this sinful world will be brought into it. And there's going to be a lot of it. Don't you think that this world is nothing but evil? Don't you think that God's people are nothing but sinners saved by grace? Don't you think that nobody ever does any good? They just want to and can't. Don't you think that? There's a whole lot of good done on this earth. And there's a whole lot of good and glory and honor that is done by the people of God on this earth. And always has been. And it's going to get carried in. Don't you think any otherwise. I mean, I'm fixing to prove it to you with the Bible here. All the true glory and honor that was found in this sinful world. And there is a bunch of it going to be brought in. It says right there, they're going to bring it into it. The kings of the earth are going to bring their glory and honor into it. We each one better be working to have something honorable and glorifying to God to bring in with us. What you got? What are you taking with you to heaven? Huh? It ain't your money. It ain't your property. It ain't your fine clothes. It ain't nothing like that. It ain't got nothing to do with that. I can tell you exactly what you're going to take into with you. Many believe now that our righteousness is filthy rags, and so they don't even do any good works. And they think you're evil for even trying. They call good evil and evil good. Messed up people. Your righteousness is filthy rags, and Isaiah that is not talking about your good works that glorify your Father which is in heaven. And no, sir. It's the things that are going to accompany you, that you're going to be rewarded for in heaven, that's going to be remembered in heaven. You better listen to what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Let me read you some more. Matthew chapter 25, verse 33, Jesus talking, he says, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king, with a capital K, say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. I want to hear him say that. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me to drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And a king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you. Now I've said this to you before, but see the other crowd, they said, we've done all these many mighty wonderful works in thy name. What do you mean? Depart. But the righteous said, we didn't. What did we do? We got no right. Their good works didn't lift them up in pride. They weren't proud of their good works. They didn't think they'd done nothing worth rewards. Jesus said, you done it? Verily I say unto you, for inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. And sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison? Did not minister unto thee. Then shall he answer them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now you think that scripture is relevant to what I'm talking about this morning here? Of course it is. That's exactly how it is. You better believe it. You can be sure of the fact that every act of kindness, every time you give to help, every time that you suffer for the sake of others or for the kingdom of God, God is keeping accounts, and you will not lose your reward. It's going to heaven with you. I don't care what the rest of the Baptists say. They believe in rewards. They talk about it. I don't know what they're talking about. When they think, oh, your righteousness is filthy rags and you can't do nothing. You're nothing but a rotten sinner. And this woe is us. If they go to heaven, they're going to go empty-handed that way. Well, that's what I read. For in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Pretty plain to me, ain't it? Jesus went about doing good. We're supposed to go around about doing good. We're supposed to minister to the saints, and we're supposed to be good to all men. Yes, sir. We're supposed to feed the hungry. We're supposed to clothe the naked. We're supposed to visit the sick and the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. That's pure religion and undefiled. But this other crowd sat in church and hooped it up and they worshiped, but they didn't know what they were worshiping. And then went out and hated one another and committed adultery and steal and lie and kill and do all this stuff. Just like they did back in the Old Testament. You can read it in Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the prophets. They did exactly the same thing. And claim they're serving God. And they end up going to everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life eternal. While the world's full of evil and always has been, there's always been a lot of good going on also. It just doesn't get the press or the attention that sin does in this sin-cursed world. But God is taking notice. You can bank on that. God don't see one. He sees the widow's mite, two mites. Yes, sir. It don't go unnoticed. And Jesus said she cast in more than they all. God don't ever miss one kindness, one kind word. God don't ever miss one sacrifice that you give to help somebody else in need. How can you see your brother in need and turn your head and say, but you failed more? How dwelleth the love of God in you? Don't. That's the answer. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and sacrifice. Go ahead and give. Go ahead and be kind when you could be sharp and cruel. Give them what they deserve. Don't think like that. Heaven's waiting. There's a reward in heaven. You're going to suffer loss in heaven or you're going to get a reward. Now, that's the way it is. This is what the scene will look like at the beginning of that eternal day in heaven. Revelation chapter 7. I know all these prophecy people, they separate everything out in the Jews and the Bibles and all that. I don't see it that way at all. So Revelation chapter 7 here, man, this describes the same picture we're seeing here. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 17, it don't matter how you want to cut it. This is what it's going to look like. When the evil's gone and removed and sin's gone forever and everybody had anything to do with it, the devil and his angels, and they're all cast into the lake of fire and it's all gone. This is what it's going to look like and sound like. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and under the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne. Let me just stop going down here. I'll read these as we go along. A multitude so great that no man could number. Can't count them. Now think about that. They have marches and gatherings, and the news media estimates the crowd to be. You can't even estimate this crowd. What John's looking at here, nobody's ever seen a crowd like this. It ain't 40,000. It ain't 500,000. It ain't a million. It's way more than you can even count. Even though most of the human race was lost, there's still such a great multitude. Think about that. Think about it. If there was a million people, you'd think that's a big crowd. You couldn't even count them, really. You'd just be guessing. How long would it take to count to a million going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, counting heads? How could you do that? Now, there's a big crowd there. No man could number. But now from where we're at right now, this morning, we ought to look at this and we ought to consider how large that multitude is that went into eternal darkness. and try to picture them in their situation while this is going on in heaven. If this is a big crowd, if this is a great multitude, no man can number, what does that crowd look like? Beyond. It's beyond. It's beyond our comprehension. It's like trying to comprehend the stars and the heavens. It's beyond what our feeble little mind can even get itself around. But we ought to consider that. You ought to stand in front of that for a minute and gaze at it with awe and wonder. And it ought to make you look around right now and say, what can I do? What can I do? So that somebody won't be lost. To lessen that number one. And to increase this multitude one. What can I do? What can I do to make a difference? Is your life going to make a difference in anybody's life? Are you going to be there in either one of those places and your life didn't matter one whit? Or what if your life increased the number that was cast into the lake of fire? What if there's somebody in hell forever and ever because of you? You contributed to it. Think about it. What if there's somebody in heaven and you had a little part? If you do, you're not going to go around bragging down here, I led so-and-so to the Lord. I led 15 to the Lord last week. You ain't going to do that. You ain't going to be bragging about what you had in it. You're going to be just like this bunch of people here. When did I ever? I didn't have a part in nothing that I know of. That's the way it's going to be. If you just do what Jesus said to do and you be like him, you'll have a part in somebody being in heaven. God will use you and make a difference. That's what I pray all the time, Lord, make a difference with our church here. That would just make a difference. If one soul saved, that's wonderful, but it ought to be a lot more than one. We ought to have more influence than that. And we ought to make more difference than that. We need to remember them now. You understand me? We need to remember them now. We need to be looking at this now. God let John see this. And told him to write it down every word. And it's preserved forever for us to read right now. So we get to look into the future. And we can see what John's seen because he wrote it down for us. He said, this is what's coming. This is that great multitude that he saw there. I'm standing in there somewhere in that crowd. You ever think about that? If he could have known, John was just a man, but if he could have known and he could have had the ability to do it, he could have looked somewhere in there and seen me in that crowd. Would he have seen you? So we can look into the future. We know this stuff. We can see it. So now is the time. Now, because at this point here, we'll not remember them anymore. You understand that? Revelation 21 verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. For the former things are passed away. They're gone. Heaven and earth are gone. Passed away, the Bible says. They're passed away. Gone. All the former things, all this evil, all this sin-cursed world is gone. We're not going to remember it anymore. Now, I know you want to argue carnal thoughts about, well, we got to remember this one and that one. Yeah, there's going to be things we will remember about this, but God's going to do something to us to fix all of that. It's just not going to be a continuation of life here. You're not going to think completely like you do now because you're going to be able to see the whole picture. All your objections, all your little problems you have in your mind, understand, well, if you get past all that junk enough to really get born again, when you get there, it ain't going to be no problem because you're going to understand. I'm just saying that right now. Right now is when we better be concerned. Now, looking around us at these people that are going to go into eternity lost. All right, let's hurry up here. Pray for them now. Treat them with kindness now. Reach out to them now. Because now is our only opportunity. You got to understand that. This is the only opportunity we got to reach out to them. Have you ever been around somebody and everything was just fine and the next day they were dead? bothers you, don't it? Bothers me. I think, well, I should have said something. What could I have said? What more could I have done that I didn't do? Well, God said that, and He couldn't have done any more than He did, but I can't say that about myself. I could have done more. I could have said more. We need to be looking at the present like that. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. All right. Now, this multitude in heaven is made up of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, it says. So let me ask you something. How could there be anybody there who hated others because of their nationality? Because all nations are going to be there. How could anybody be there that hated other people because of their race, the color of their skin, the language they spoke, or the people they were associated with? No, afraid it's not going to be that way. This great multitude is out of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues. Everybody. Let me tell you how it is. The answer is there won't be people like that there that hate one another because of that. God's people all love one another here and now. And in heaven it'll be like a great reunion full of love and rejoicing. That's what it's going to be like. Here we go visit people, and then we have to leave and say goodbye. But there ain't going to be no goodbyes there. I mean, it's going to be, we're going to be together forever. Some of you understand what it's like to have sweet fellowship with God's people here. But it always seems to come to an end. We have to part. We have to go back to where we come from or whatever. I mean, there's always something hindering here. But there, it's not going to be that way. Forever and ever, we're going to be with the Lord. There'll be no separation by age and gender or marital status either. Nobody's going to stand up and announce, well, over here, now y'all, you children, you come over here, and you women, you go that direction, and singles over here. No, it ain't going to be none of that. One big service forever. Everybody's going to be there. Let me say this. We're wearing white robes and they have palms in their hands. That's what he's described, isn't it? As he saw this great multitude. That's what they were. They had white robes and they had palms in their hands. Not swords, not guns, not ball bats, not phones. They had palms in their hands. What in the world does that mean? Well, there's nothing but righteousness. The white robes represent the righteousness of the saints. Yes. Bible says plainly. White robe. Righteousness. No sin. Yes. No evil. No corruption. Peace. Palm leaves mean peace. Yes. No harm. Nothing but good. Love and goodwill toward all. That's the picture. That's what John's describing there. The reason's very clear that it's that way. The reason there's nothing but peace. The reason they're all there. The reason there's nothing but love between them and joy is real plain. The reason they say it themselves. They're all totally, as you look at this multitude, John described it to us. This is what he's telling us about. This is what he says they were doing. This is what they were thinking. This is what was going on. They're all totally enraptured at the sight of and being in the presence of the Lamb of God. They ain't worried about their white robes. They ain't worried about nothing. But here's what they're saying. They cried in verse 10 with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Do you see what they had on their minds? Do you see what they were thinking? This great multitude, all of them thinking the same thing. We're in the presence of God, can you imagine what it's going to be like the instant you find yourself in the presence of God, looking at His face, looking at His joyous face, not His scowling face, not His frowning face, His smiling, elated, happy face. This is what He has been working on for 6,000 years. This is what He's been working toward. This is what He's been suffering for all these thousands of years. This moment, He's looked forward to this. You think He's not going to be happy? Try to get it in your mind, this scene. I mean, in a real way. Think about it, man. Just think about it. This is what they're saying. Praise
God. Salvation.
You said it a lot of times down here. You just throw that word around real lightly. Oh, salvation. I'm saved. I got salvation. Do you know about salvation? It's important. Well, they're saying it different there.
Salvation.
They that's going to be your first glimpse of what it really means. Brought out of the darkness. We talk about that. We understand it to a degree here, but we don't understand it like we're going to understand it in that moment. No, no, no. And the angels, all the angels in heaven are so overwhelmed at this sight that they fall down and worship God and extol what He has done in redeeming this multitude out of that sinful world. Revelation chapter 7, verse 11. Look at it. Next verse. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Because it's very plain in this moment that God knew exactly what He was doing through the previous 6,000 years of history while sin ravaged this universe. Everybody doubted Him all the way through. Everybody questioned Him all the way through. Everybody put Him on trial. Every little bump in the road and every war and every mass suffering and every bad thing that happened in the world, they blamed God and questioned God. And if God loves us and if I could have loved God. But in that moment, everybody's going to realize. And the angels in heaven are going to bow down on their faces and say, glory to God. They're going to worship God for what He's done. They're going to understand for the first time what in the world this was all about. They don't understand. Right now, they really don't. They're just looking in awe and saying, what in the world? Men don't understand fully. We're looking through a glass darkly. We don't see the complete picture, but we will then. And in verse 12, the angels worship God saying, amen. Right. So be it. Amen. The multitude saying, salvation to our God. And they're saying, amen. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Now, that's what the angels said. They started with amen and ended with amen, and all the wisdom and blessing and power and glory and honor and everything to God, because they understand what He has done. And here it is. Y'all see that? You understand? Can you see what John is seeing here? One of the elders asked John, here's the deal. John's sitting here looking at all this. Wow. Can you imagine? You can't. But John was looking at it, and one of the elders that stood by the throne, the angels are on their faces worshiping God, and all the saints are worshiping God. One of the elders looks at John and says, who are these people? John knew the answer. Oh, I know who these people are. Because he was one of them. He could see himself in that crowd. He said to him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, see, the elder said to John, John said, you know. He said, who are these people? John said, you know. And he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation. And these are not the people who came out of the great tribulation. It's not them. They've come out of great tribulation. Everybody that ever walked this journey and everybody that ever lived in this sinful world and ended up with God came out of great tribulation. You ain't going to, in this world ye shall have tribulation, Jesus said. But be a good cheer. I've overcome the world. You ain't going to get through this life and get to God without tribulation and great tribulation. This is the crowd that came out of great tribulation. Ain't no wonder their robes are white. Ain't no wonder they got palms in their hand. Ain't no wonder they're saying salvation to our God. Mercy. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, sir. In verse 15, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. He's not in a high place separate, He's among them. They're my people and they're going to dwell with me. You remember when Joseph said that to his brethren? These are my people. They're going to dwell here with me. Just a little shadow, see? All right, let me hurry here. Let me ask you, are you headed there this morning? Do you know for sure? Could John, if he was looking, could he have seen your face in that great multitude? Or you just don't even know? Or you don't care? Where are you at this morning? Let me say this to you. Do not trust in vain things or entertain a hope for heaven that you do not really possess. Can you lay your head down tonight on your pillow knowing that if you die before you wake, you'll be in the presence of God? Do you really, really know that? For a good Bible reason. And I don't mean you just name a verse and claim it. See the prosperity crowd, that's what they do. Name it and claim it. Well, the Baptists are doing the same thing. They just name a verse and claim it and think they're saved and they're going to heaven. If God ain't done a work in your heart, if you're the same old person, and if you just can't get no victory over yourself and your sin, and that's what it is, sin is yourself. If you can't get no victory over yourself, man, you got no real hope of heaven. Now, I'm just going to be flat honest with you this morning. You got no real hope of heaven. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. As we go on through this, you're going to see, to him that overcometh. Him that overcometh, he shall be a pillar in the temple of God. I mean, all the promises are to him that overcometh. So if you can't overcome your own self, you got no hope. You got no hope of heaven. How do you do it? By faith. By trusting him. By casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. You don't do it in your own strength. You throw yourself at the mercy of God. You yield and put down your weapons and quit fighting God and everybody else. Surrender your life to him. Do what we sang a while ago. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Whatever God wants in my life, I'll do. I'm here. I'm at your service. You're never going to have any assurance in your heart of heaven if you don't ever come to that point in your life where you do that and you mean business and it's real. Search your own heart. Let God search your heart. And be honest with yourself. Think of what it's really is at stake here with your soul's eternal destiny. Think of it. I mean, I cannot even begin to express this morning what heaven's going to be like. I can tell you what I can read out of the Bible and we can talk about it and shout about it, but it's insufficient. You don't want to miss it. I can't describe to you the horrors of eternity without God. Eternity in the darkness, outer darkness, with nothing but evil. We're rejoicing because it's going to be nothing but righteousness and peace. The lost are going to be in eternity with nothing but the evil and hatred and filth. Nothing but that. No righteousness. Nothing but evil forever and ever and ever. That's enough right there. I mean, even people who would believe that didn't even believe there was fire in hell, which there is. You know, I can tell you about the torment of the fire and all of that and the burning and their smoke going to rise up forever and ever. The smoke of their torment. Yes. But you ought to be concerned about the environment you're going to be in eternity without God. All right, I'm going to read these verses and then I'm going to quit. Revelation 21, verse 8. These are verses that are scattered through this. Now, see, you say, you can blame me and say, all you do is this negative name. You just think more about people ain't going than the ones that are going. No, this is Revelation chapter 21, same chapter I've been telling you all this wonderful stuff about heaven out of. Interspersed among these verses are these verses. God don't want you to forget. As John wrote this down, all about the glory of heaven and this great multitude and all this wonderful stuff, he put these in. Verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Verse 11, chapter 22. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is He that which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Verse 15, chapter 22, for without are dogs. You think that's bark, bark dogs? Woof, woof dogs? No, that ain't what it's talking about. It's talking about human dogs. Humans that act like dogs. Dogs is a synonym in the Bible for sodomites. Without. I don't care what they say. They're not going to heaven. No. Not a practicing. Such were some of you. Now the Bible does say that. And it includes that. Such were some of you. So that's hard for some of us to swallow. But the Bible says it, and that's the way it is. They can be saved. They can turn from that sin just like any other sin. That's a bad one. But all of them are bad. And they can turn. But if they won't turn, without. Out, without are dogs. And sorcerers. That's drug. People that are addicted to drugs. Sorcery is drugs. That's what it is. And whoremongers. And that's not just marijuana and heroin and crack and, you know, all that stuff either. A lot of people go to the pharmacy and buy their drugs. And they're sorcerers. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not being against all medicine. That's not what I'm talking about. But people are addicted to it. And they live for it. And they trust their life into it. And they think they can't live without it. Whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, not entering in. Without are all those people right there. That's verse 15, verse 19, last one. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You want to assure yourself a place in hell? Just go to cutting around on the word of God. Just go to mocking the word of God and denying it, questioning it, lying about it. You got a reservation in hell if you do that. God's promised here. All right, let's stand. I start looking at things like this, and I think now you got to cut it short. You got to cut it short. Don't add any more because you got to keep it brief. And you wouldn't believe how hard I am on myself in trying to cut it down to. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. Don't just stay right here. Just stay right here. Well, I ain't varied too much here this morning. I've just talked about eternity. God's preparing a place for us. You need to be prepared to go there. Most people are not going. Don't you be one of the ones that miss it this morning. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to pray in just a second here. But let me ask you something. Is there anybody here that'll just say, no, I'm not ready? And I just want you to pray for me. You know, I love every one of you here this morning. And I ain't going to call you out. And I ain't going to embarrass you. And I ain't going to try to force you to do anything. You ought to know me better than that by now. But let me, you know, just raise your hand. Say, Brother Mike, just pray for me. I want to go to heaven. And I want to be ready. Pray for me and I'll be ready. How many of you know you're going? And I'll be sure. Don't just jerk your hand up there because you know you're going to heaven when you die. You got a place there. All right. Okay, I see your hands. I appreciate that. So some of you don't know you're going and you don't want me to pray for you. What am I going to do about that? Well, I'm going to pray for you anyway. Somebody here a while back said, I'll pray for you. I guess he didn't even want me to pray for him. Because he acted like it was kind of offensive to him. But you can't stop me from praying. You can pass a law. You can do whatever you want to. I'm going to pray God will get a hold of you. I don't want anybody here to miss heaven. I hope we're together there. Our little crowd. I hope that we're all there. And that we can all rejoice together when the journey's over. It's coming. I mean, this is the Word of God. This is the Bible we've read here this morning. We've got a glimpse through the window right into the very presence of God and all the multitude that say we got to see them this morning in living color. What else is it going to take to get to you? I mean, what do you got to have? What's God got to do for you? What does the preacher have to say? What's going to have to happen in your life before you will turn from yourself and turn to God? Father, thank you for the Word of God. Please bless it now as it goes out. Pray, Lord, that you would empower it and make it effectual in the hearts of everybody that hears it. Those that are here this morning, please work in hearts. I'm thankful for each one that does have that hope. I pray for those who don't. Please work in their hearts. Please remove whatever obstacle the devil is holding in front of their face. And help them to see that they're in a trap. And the devil's holding them hostage. And I pray they'd realize that he's got evil intents for them. And that he's the destroyer who's not only going to destroy them in eternity, but in this life also if they don't escape his clutches. Please help them to realize that you came to set the captives free. And if that has come to you, they'll find freedom and peace and joy. And then they'll be anticipating your coming with anxious anticipation instead of dread and fear. Please go with us in working hearts. Lord, I pray your word would have free course in all of our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.